This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, a few minutes past 2 p.m. Dave Kelly says, Dave's giving me motion sickness. Denise says, I know, me too.
You are rocking a lot today, I noticed myself.
Yeah, I apologize. I just can't not. Like, if I'm sitting, I'm spinning my chair.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I'm still is on my end of the couch, covered in blankets, and drugged in some way.
Yeah.
Then I'm pretty still.
Even then, are you still fidgety though?
Emotionally, yes. Yes. I want to scratch my brain a lot.
I mean, like, do you tap your toes? Do you click a pen? Anything like that?
No, that's pretty much the only time. Though.
Okay. Okay.
That's pretty much the only time. Like, these guys will tell you that on the breaks, if you see me disappear from the screen, I'm doing a lap. We have just one big, our office is one giant square.
Yeah.
Probably about 1/8 of a mile, something like that. And I just go walk it a couple times. It drives people crazy. Or they like it. They're like, there's Dave.
Yeah. I like it.
But I'm a fidgeter. It's weird that I'm not on the spectrum because it's called stimming.
Mm.
And every one of them I have. I don't know if you see me sometimes rubbing my hands together and scratching my arms. I just have them all.
Mm.
And like so many things in life, it's getting worse. Not so many things in life like my life. I'm just saying, like, as you age,
I see what
you
mean.
Typically don't just brighten up. You know, I'm 60. It's all about me now. No, you just like the strange quirks and peccadilloes and things that you have tend to sort of like take root. So, yeah.
Of all the things that it could be.
Could be worse.
Yeah, say this is not really the worst.
Nope,
I'll be
worse.
Honest, I don't even notice it.
Good.
Here, let's take the heat off of Dave. Let's all sway in different ways.
Yeah, I don't notice it in real life, but I just notice it on the camera.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. So, sorry about that. If you missed the big announcement at the top of the show, we announced that 2 weeks from today, KMOX will be simulcasting on 104.1 FM. So let me kind of drill down on this a little bit for you. 1120, 50,000 red hot watts used to be the standard. And then FM came along quite a while ago, and that became the standard. But I can tell you this because for most of my career, I competed against KMOX. For 20 years, it was my job to kill KMOX. And it was very frustrating because in spite of being on an AM signal, they just kept doing well. And they kept billing like crazy and getting ratings. And so it's just, it is a modern miracle of media that KMOX has stayed as strong as they did for 100 years on AM. So now we have the chance to go to 104.1. We've been on 98.7, but that's what in the business we call a translator, which means basically just a weaker signal. It's really good in the city, but if you get much outside the city, it starts to break up a little bit. Hot 104.1 hot is going to 98.7. So you'll, if you enjoyed that station and the hip hop music, you'll be able to find it in 2 weeks at 98.7. And then we will be on 1120. That's going nowhere. So for all of our out of state and out of town friends, that's always going to be there. But here in town, and by town, I mean Farmington and Festus and Litchfield, we'll be everywhere on 104.1, including Cardinal Baseball, including our lineup all day, every day. So it's a really good thing for KMOX. I hope it's a really good thing for you guys. You'll be able to use us on any number of formats now. And quite frankly, it just puts us in a place to compete on an even playing field. It's been tough competing with Keishi and even my old 97.1 FM talk because they're on FM. And they offer different things than we do, to each their own. But this gives us a chance to boom KMOX out there and become the voice of St. Louis again in a different way. Mm. So
get that big megaphone working.
Yeah. They should just put up, here's how we should promote it. They should put up a big billboard with a big image of me that's just sliding back and forth like I do.
That would be awesome.
On camera.
Yeah.
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 That'd get some attention, wouldn't it?
I would think people would notice.
And we say, we're moving. Yeah. Get it?
Oh,
hey.
And we can't
what
stop.
What a 4.1. We can't stop.
Can't stop.
There's no stopping us now.
Question for you guys. Everyone agrees. Kids are off limits. Regardless, you don't touch a kid. You don't hurt a kid in any way. But J.D. Vance has his panties in a bunch because when he was on, I believe, a skiing trip, he was in public and people were going after him and berating him. And he had his 3-year-old daughter with him. Now, as far as I know, no one said anything to his daughter, but he was berating the citizens back. Like, how dare you? I'm with my family. This is off limits. Thoughts? When you're the VP and you're in public, you know, no one went to his house. He's in public. Is it truly off limits?
I think as long as you're not directing anything, as long as you're not like, hey, and you got some ugly kids, some weird looking kids you got there. You know what I mean? I think if you are, I think you don't get to use your kids as a shield. Yeah.
Man, I don't know. It's a tough one because what scares a 3-year-old doesn't have to be anything actually scary.
Also a good point.
You know, I mean, like, just people following them around.
They're not going to parse out, oh, they're talking to dad about his work.
Right. There's people following around, some of them yelling. Now, he did say that there were some good rational conversation going back and forth. You know, they weren't, like, screaming, get him, get him. It wasn't anything like that. But that doesn't mean that a 3-year-old can't be scared by a group of people yelling things at their father. And noticing, because kids do, that their father's getting tense, that their father's getting upset, that he's body language is chasing. Kids notice those things. I would err on the side, like if I wanted to address J.D. Vance or if I wanted to address, anybody with a young family, I would not want to do it with the kids there. Especially if I wanted to get into some kind, I don't mean a fight, like an argument. If I wanted to argue a point with them, I would think that would be a line I wouldn't want to cross. I'm not saying it's a crime, and I'm a little surprised that it went on that way with Secret Service around. Mm-hmm. Like, how did Secret Service not step in and say, guys, you need to back up, you have to stop following the vice president? I don't know, maybe that did happen and it was just in an open environment and it was kind of impossible to do it without escalating too much. But I would feel that way. I would feel that way if back in the time when Obama was in office and he was out with his daughters and people were yelling things, I'd feel the same way about it. I'm not saying it's an automatic shield, but we do as adults have to consider the whole situation. We don't just get to go in and start yelling no matter the circumstance just because someone's in a position of importance.
Is Speaker Johnson's advice to the Republicans to take a break from town halls just good, smart politics, or is it some level of cowardice because they're stopping because they're taking it on the chin from their own constituents?
Mm. I mean, this is an easy one for me because I think that every congressperson, every senator, every elected official of significance, but especially at the federal level, should have mandatory town halls and they should not be able to cancel them. They should not be able to avoid them. They should be facing the people that live where they were in their district. Period. The end. That should be mandatory. And it does. It shouldn't matter if you're getting yelled at or not. So, and I feel that way about anybody, Cori Bush here, whoever. If you are in a position of power, you should have to answer to the people you represent on a regular basis in person. You don't get to cancel that because people are mean to you or mad at you. You're in the big leagues, man. Just like this, to me, again, I love my sports analogies because I'm a sports guy and I've spent 30 years in it. But how would you feel about a professional athlete who's like, I don't want to play today because people in the stands are yelling at me. They're being mean to me. They're telling me I suck. They're mad at our team. I mean, come on. You would tell them to grow up. You would tell them, dude, this is what you're getting paid for. You get paid because that's part of the deal. So if you want the big boy jobs, then act like a big boy.
I don't know if I would quantify it as cowardice. I don't know if I would use that word, but I do think it's a terribly misguided decision. So you're just going to avoid the people who are presumably voting for you in the next election. Don't you want to hear what they have to say? Mm. Don't you want to fix what's going on if they're so dissatisfied with you that they risk not voting for you in the future? It just feels like a way of kicking the can down the road. Except this is, you know, this is people's livelihoods. Like, they take this very seriously. This is not some culture wars like, maybe it'll blow over in a couple months and the new hot topic of the day will pop up. This is people losing their jobs. And I just think it's a dumb decision more than anything else.
Are you guys and you guys out there online, and you can always call 314-436-7900. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I mean, I've been on for 25 years. I've been on all through the Trump thing and voted for him the first time and fell out of love pretty quickly. And I said after this last election, and meant it, that I am no longer going to be triggered or, fall for every ruse or, you know, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy professionally on the air. I don't want to be the CNN of radio where all I do is tell you the news of the day and how it's because Trump is an idiot. I don't want to, that doesn't interest me. And I don't want to have any more upset in my life by being upset about this all the time. So what I did was I sort of tightened my filter of the things that made it through to me and the things that bother me. But I have to say, and I'm the farthest thing from an economist you're going to find all day, but I have to say the combination of the tariffs and the now we got them, now we don't, now they're this, now they're that, you see what it's done to the stock market. And I said last week that the stock market is what means the most to me personally and a lot of people like me because I have most of my money tied up in it in one way or another, 401ks or, you know, what have you. Most of us do. And so every day I'll check the stock market. Oh, it's up 200. Oh, you just made $20, you know, whatever it is. But when we're losing hundreds of points every day and it becomes a pattern and people start talking about corrections, and then I'm sure you saw that over the weekend, I think it was Maria Bartiromo asked Donald Trump, do you think there's going to be a recession? And he didn't answer. He said, like, oh, I don't like predicting these things. But now they're pivoting to a no pain, no gain strategy is what they're saying themselves. That to get somewhere better, we have to go through some short term pain. Here's my worry. My worry is that he's way over his head. He's way over his skis. And he's finally making decisions that are going to really affect us negatively for a really long time. I'll also say this, and I'll look you right now when I say it there on the camera. I hope I'm wrong. I hope his, and I probably didn't used to feel that way. Back when I was really anti-Trump, I probably really rooted for him to crap the bed and all of his people to look stupid and me to look smart. Now, I'm much more concerned about my family, my 401k, my country. I would rather him be a genius this whole time and me be wrong and see things the next 3.5 years go swimmingly. But I'm really worried they're not going to. Where are you guys on it?
Well, I mean, I always like to ask the question, who benefits from these types of things, right? So who benefits when the stock market drops by a lot in a short period of time?
Big investors.
The people with the most money, because they're going to buy on the downswing, right? They're going to buy the rebound. Normal people who do not have the resources to do that always end up either losing or staying the same. You know, I mean, what do you think the richest of the rich are going to do now that the stock market's going down? They're going to start buying things as it gets lower, because that they have the resources and the reserves to do it, and they're going to make a lot of money off of it. How many people cannot do that? So who benefits from this kind of stuff happening?
Rich people.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it's quote-unquote intentional, but where does everything seem to be pushing the last handful of years? Toward the richest people. Richest people are buying social media. They're buying access to the White House. They're putting these things in place. They're cutting all these things. They're creating chaos that they know they can benefit from, because they're beyond being hurt. You can't hurt Elon Musk. I mean, short of Tesla just completely going under, what can actually hurt him with the wealth that he's accumulated? Or Bezos or any of those guys? I mean, I don't know that it, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so I'm not sitting here saying that it's connected and they're all acting together. I'm not saying any of those things. But we've created a system that incentivizes behaviors and patterns that benefit the super rich more than they benefit the 99% of us who don't have those resources. That's what the system is. And what's a further tax break for them going to do? And whatever else is coming, you think there's anything coming that is that's going to be on the downside for that group of people? So when do they get to suffer with the rest of us? The answer is never.
For DGS and KMOX, Razor's Edge.
Yeah, let's, speaking of money, let's talk about a proposal that has brought together AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Representative Ana Paulina Luna. Do we know who this young woman is? She's a millennial in Congress. She was named to something recently. I think she's helping RFK out with a couple of things, like classified documents or something. She's a little cuckoo from what I've picked up on. Sorry, I should have more examples of that ready to go. But she's working with AOC to try to cap credit card interest rates at 10%. And this is something that Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Josh Hawley had talked about doing in the past, too. They wanted to cap interest rates at around 10%. AOC has been talking about capping interest rates since about 2019. She had a bill to try to cap them at 15%. She says credit cards with high interest rates regularly trap working people in endless cycles of debt. At a time when families are struggling to make ends meet, we cannot allow big banks to shake down our communities for profit. So right now, interest rates average are at 28.71% for a credit card, and they want to make 10% the absolute highest it can be.
So what is it now?
Right now the average is 28.71%.
Come the F on.
It's pretty high. So at first when I heard about this,
allow this to happen?
Well, let's talk about it a little bit, because at first I was like, this is great. Of course they should do it at 10% and then everyone can have credit and everything will be great. But critics are arguing that if you artificially cap credit card interest rates like this, especially at such a low percentage, like 10%, it's going to lead to significant economic ramifications and make credit card companies stop giving credit to millions of families.
Okay.
Dave just like, all right, do it.
Yeah.
Price controls such as interest rate caps harm consumers. They say laws that prevent lenders from charging a market rate of return will lead to less lending overall.
So what they're saying is fewer poor people are going to get credit cards at 28%. Okay.
Basically, that's what's going on.
It's not much of a threat.
Well, also, I mean, I refuse to believe that any of these companies are going to say, no, we're just going to not make any money.
Yeah.
Because you're still making money at 10%.
Yeah, making 10%.
Right. I mean, that's not insignificant. Your home loan is not 10%. Your car loan is not 10%. Those banks seem to be doing just fine. Now, I know those are larger amounts of money, right? Although a lot of credit card accounts probably aren't too far off of what a car might be worth. I don't know if I'm fully on board with it. I'd want to read more about it, but predatory lending has been a thing for a good while. And it's been that case too with like college student loans. And instead of, I mean, we talked about this when Joe Biden wanted to cancel the student loans. How about we just rein it in first? What's the point of canceling ones in the past when the system's going to remain the same and just create more of those moving forward?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if we're going to do stuff, let's do it that in a way that makes sense so that people aren't being taken advantage of. Because who are we talking about, Dave? I mean, we're talking about people that don't have the cash on hand, which is why you want to use it. And I'm not talking about the person that has the credit card that just pays their balance off every month, because that person's not being charged anything. You're not paying any interest if you're doing that.
But what about the argument that this will lead to rationing credit? And let's say, not even like, oh, you know, you brought up poor people earlier, Dave. They'll only be able to get certain amount of credit cards. What about like young people who are trying to establish credit for the first time?
I agree with Wheels. They'll find a way. They're in the business of giving people credit and giving people loans. And they'll find a way. But I would rather see Phoebe not be able to get a credit card than get a credit card at 28%.
So, I would throw this in as a question. Isn't the counter argument from most people, and I believe this, I'm full on into like capitalism. Like, I like fair competition, free market, all that. But the key word there is competition. If there's a need for that and a desire for that, won't someone else then step in and fill that market?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DG Asa and Camel Wax. Our friend Bernie Miklas joins us. Hello, Bern.
Dave Glover, how are you, sir?
Good, buddy. Good weekend? Good sports weekend?
Yeah, I watched a lot of college hoops and, you know, catching up on some TV, catching up on some reading. I relaxed. It was all good.
Good. Going to go back to a conversation we had on the DGS at the start of the show with Wheeler and Ronge and ask you a couple of the same questions. From an excitement level, Put aside whether it's a better team or it's better in October. For your excitement, are you more excited with Nolan Arenado on this team or being traded?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I would say for 2025 purposes, I'm excited that he's on the team. But there's also the downside to that. So there's not a perfect answer, but I would say I'm excited that he's still on the team.
And if the decision were made today, don't you think it's kind of tough to keep Victor Scott out of center field?
Absolutely. Now we're speaking on something. Absolutely. And I, you know, John Mozeliak's been dropping hints, and I think we know which way it's going. Ali Marmol has been dropping hints. He started the off season. It's like the winter warm up. You know, he was raving about Michael Ciani, and then he said to Victor Scott. About Victor Scott, sorry. He said, well, you know, we have to do what's best for Victor. I'm sorry, I can't talk today. We have to do what's best for Victor. Translation, Victor's going to the minor leagues. So the manager has really evolved on this, and it's about time. You got to have at least one runway player in 2025 starting for you, and that would be Victor Scott.
I know it's only one game or a weekend of games, but it was really nice for me, who struggles with Nolan Gorman, to see him swing the bat.
Well, you struggle with Nolan Gorman, and Nolan Gorman struggles against fastballs. So I guess you guys are kind of even. I don't know. You're kind of a hardball guy. But anyway, now I forgot the question. I was so busy trying to get off a one-liner there. So
that's funny. Well, let me stop because I buried the lead here. And you being a radio legend and a KMOX guy forever, I need you to weigh in on the big announcement today. That 2 weeks from today, in time for opening day, KMOX will not just be on 1120 AM, although we will always be on 1120 AM, but we're also going to be on 104.1 FM.
I think it's great news. And listen, I work for KMOX, but I would say this. In fact, when I was working for another radio station when KMOX got the Cardinals back, and I wrote a column on that station's website saying this is the best thing for the Cardinals. The Cardinals belong on KMOX. So just because I'm getting a paycheck from a company, it doesn't mean I'm going to go in the tank. You know, I'll still talk about stuff. And I've thought quite – since I'm doing that now, let me just say this. I'm actually surprised it took this long, but I'm really, really, really excited that it's happening because it's a good thing. There's nothing negative about it whatsoever. And KMOX and the Cardinals and all the programming will be able to have another bridge, another throughway to attract listeners. And it's an FM country. You know, it's more so than AM. And that I think everyone agrees with that principle. So I'm excited by it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited personally to get back on FM, but I'm really excited as a fan to hear baseball on FM.
Absolutely. And I listen, I was talking to my wife about this earlier. And I said, you know, I'm so blessed because I've been a part of St. Louis and KMOX for I made my first appearance in KMOX was like the spring of 1985. And it is a legendary station. It's an iconic station. It's one of the great radio stations in America. They're synonymous with the Cardinals. Some of the greatest broadcasters who ever lived in baseball walked through that and sat down and did games in that KMOX booth. The legacy and the tradition, the history is just extraordinary. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't change or you shouldn't evolve. And so I think It's not like KMOX is going to be downgraded or anything like that, because KMOX has a history that few radio stations anywhere can match. But you got to get with the times, and I think that this is a huge step forward.
Before heading over to basketball, which is really exciting right now, one more question on baseball. Wheel said that the Gas House Gang had a really interesting conversation about Pujols and or Pujols versus Yachty as manager.
I find it interesting because against the backdrop of like the Cardinals going into the 2025 season, nothing is certain after 2025 other than John Mozeliak stepping down, Heim Bloom moving into the president of baseball operations chair. Nothing certain with Ali Marmol. He has a contract through 2026, but that doesn't mean anything. Nothing certain with quite a few of their players. So it's this season of uncertainty, and the Cardinals have been trying to explain to all of us, like, well, what this season's supposed to be about, and it's been a contradictory set of messages. So we're wondering, like, well, what exactly is the aim, the goal here in 2025? We're confused. And then, meanwhile, the most entertaining thing, in my opinion, that has happened this offseason with Cardinals baseball, all due respect to the Cardinals, is you now have Yadier Molina and Albert Pujols campaigning to become a major league manager. I mean, nothing else happened this offseason, right? So this is like actually the most entertaining part of it.
And you guys had to choose between Pujols and Yadier?
I made the guys choose.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I told them, like, you have to pick one. Like, if you're the team, because you can't pick both. So they both want it. Who's the choice? I think everybody picked Albert. And I think we all have slightly different reasons for it, but you laid it out pretty good, Bern.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, first of all, man, one of my real pet peeves here lately, and I had a really nice gentleman tell me this on one of the social media platforms. So, I love Albert, but Bernie, you know, like really good players, great players, they don't make good managers. I don't know how this became some kind of narrative that's like embedded in the baseball soul, because everybody repeats that. It's simply not true. There have been a lot of great players who also became very good to great managers. And I could go through the list, but I guess you can all take my word for it. But the thing about Pujols is he checks all the boxes. I mean, first of all, he's 45 years old. He can relate to the younger generation of players. He was a player as in 2022. He is the smartest baseball player that I've ever been around. Number two, he spent 11 years with Tony La Russa, where he was in La Russa's office all the time after games. Like, well, why did you bring that pitcher in? I thought you were going to bring that pitcher in. Tell me how you set up a bullpen. Tell me why you set the lineup this way. Tell me why you like to hit and run. Tell me this. Like, in other words, Albert Pujols had an 11-year education in Tony La Russa's office, and basically – It was a course on how to be a manager. 11 years with one of the great managers in the history of the game. He's a phenomenal leader. He walks into a room and the other players look at him. They're in awe. He commands. He's a presence. He is a huge presence, and he's a leader, and he represents the very best of Cardinals baseball. And the thing of it is, he is ready to lead a team, and he's also much more front and center with all of the heavy-duty media obligations. That's something I worry about with Yachty. I'm not saying everyone's got to be nice to the media. That's not my point. It's just a huge part of the job now, and Albert's prepared for that as well. I mean, again, I could go on and on and on, but this guy's intelligence is beyond reproach. Yeah. And the idea of inexperience is a myth, too. It's one of the most ridiculous myths out there. Like I mentioned the other day, 8 guys who won World Series for the Cardinals as managers – were first-time managers in the job when they won the World Series. So you have people, well, you got to have experience. No, you don't. Actually, you don't. I don't know where you're getting that from. You don't have to. The game's changed, people.
Yeah, and I it's funny because everything baseball-wise that we can say about Albert is also true of Yachty, right? I mean, he was in with La Russa for all those years. All of those things are true. I like to give the edge to catchers, duh, because I'm a dork. But former catchers have made great managers because of the way they see the field and they manage pitchers and they were hitters. But I think that last part you hit, Bernie, was why my vote went Albert, is that being the face and the voice of the team every single day is a lot. And I think Albert, with the TV work that he's done, has shown that he's more into that. And this is not a knock on Yachty, because I think Yachty can become this. But if I'm measuring the two now, Albert gets the big edge there when it comes to being the voice and the face of the team.
See, this is an uncomfortable question because I don't want to say anything bad about Yadier Molina. But if I'm being objective about this, I do have questions about Yadier Molina's temperament. I just do. Because we saw it a lot as a player. I mean, a lot as a player. And he doesn't have much patience with anything, really. And he is very quick to sort of go off on stuff. And, you know, I still don't understand why he agreed to a consulting job with the Cardinals and he decided not to show up for it. You know, is he mad at anybody? You just never know what he's thinking. And he explained all of that with a really great piece by Katie Wu today, yeah, in The Athletic. But I think Pujols has got the more developed temperament. Mm-hmm. For the high-pressure job of managing, where you're under scrutiny and you're getting second-guessed all the time. I think he's more prepared to deal with that in terms of his temperament.
Yeah, good point.
252 DGS and KMOX. We announced at the top of the show, and we will be cramming this down your throat, that 2 weeks from today, KMOX goes from just 1120 AM to 1120 AM and 104.1 FM. So if you're listening at 98.7, in 2 weeks, that's going to become hot 98.7 hip hop, which is what 104.1 is now. So that station is simply going to migrate to 98.7. It's a city signal, so it's really good in the city. I have no problem picking it up in my Jeep at 98.7, but if you get out into some of the hinterlands, it's difficult. 104.1 is not. It booms from Festus to Litchfield and all points in between, so that this is going to be a sea change for KMOX, for the shows, and also for Cardinal baseball. Casey says, I listen on 102.5 HD. It's great. Hope that doesn't change. Casey, that is not changing. So nothing's really going away other than 98.7, but it's being replaced with a much bigger, stronger 104.1. But 1120 is still there. 102.5 HD is still there. The Odyssey app is still there. Streaming at YouTube and Facebook is still there. So it's simply another way to get us, and a much bigger way that's going to level the playing field for us in radio. And, like, for real, this is probably the biggest radio story in years, right? I mean, I can't think of a bigger one.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's I know, maybe for people that are not as much in the business as we are, it may seem as a big thing.
Sure.
But, I mean, that's kind of why, if I'm looking at the history of this station, this station's history is loaded with monstrous achievements and all of that type of stuff. But when you're talking about changes or events that impact, you know, things moving forward, this is probably top two or three in the history of the station.
Yeah.
I mean, the number one is probably the affiliation with the Cardinals when that became a thing. I mean, the two grew together for decades and decades and decades. And it's part of why the Cardinals, it's the reason why the Cardinals have a regional fan base and not just an area fan base.
I wasn't paying attention when they went to the other station. What was that whole experiment like?
Not great. Well, I mean, the signal wasn't as good. It wasn't as strong as 1120, so they had complaints about that. And I'm not trying to be mean, because I mean, a lot of guys that I'm friends with were involved in some way in that. But it was just, it's hard. Look, what we do with the Cardinals isn't easy to replicate, but we have people that have been doing it for decades, and understand how it works and understand the way it works like clockwork and make sure that it's on time. But then obviously the benefit of this particular 50,000 watt signal is the strength that it is, not just in the metro area, but in the central part of the nation.
Yeah.
I mean, from the Rockies to the East Coast, you can hear KMOX at night. You know, and that's a big draw, and that just wasn't the case with their other signal.
Yeah. So. Steve Bromley says, I've listened to KMOX for about 60 of my 73 years of life. Looking forward to more opportunities. Steve, glad to have you with us.
Yep.
Stick with
really
us.
Really nice.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.